foundation we have sung. I love a good foundation, but I must admit I hate foundation issues. We've had them at home. That was our trial and tribulation of a couple of years ago. And of course, we have foundation issues physically here at the church, down the hall, and doing the research and finding the best solution to that foundation issue. And it's not just and the way it was built, 1957, 1958, it's done different, okay? So it's not the same kind of solution that it'll require over there in Wilbanks Hall from the 90s. These things can be complicated. They can be involved. Trying to do that, to find what's the best way to make it stand up, as it's saying. There is a saying that an organization is only as strong as its weakest link. That can also be applied to a foundation. Now, here I'm speaking about physically. I've been talking about physically, that the building here or challenges that you may have faced in your homes or have seen in other places, other foundation issues. How does this speak to the words of Jesus and the prophet of Isaiah? And even to stewardship. In a way, Jesus and Isaiah were speaking to the foundations. What was supporting the people and saying, you have got foundation issues. You've got something going on. Now, when it comes to hearing these words of challenge, something I have to always remind myself is they come from a place of love and care and compassion, even if the words are harsh. Now, some of you may have seen years ago, do you know that line, no more wire hangers? A line from the movie, Mommy Dearest, and very upset because, I bought these nice clothes for you and these are cheap wire hangers, not the expensive wire hangers. And she just blows up in that big speech, which even Christina Crawford said went over the top in the movie. Even that, she said it wasn't as bad as you showed it in the movie, but that it's become a line, almost a comical line, no more wire hangers, ever. And when I hear the words of the prophets, I have to be careful. I sometimes hear no more wire hangers, but that's not what the prophets are saying. It comes from, Jesus is not telling us no more wire hangers. He's calling attention to an issue, and sometimes those words are going to be harsh. But it comes from a place of care and compassion. A correction to bring somebody back. You know, even in an intervention, it's like unless you change your pattern, get help, we're cutting off. And that sounds very hard. But the point is, we want to have a relationship with you. The only way we can do it is to change. So keep that in mind. 1 Corinthians 3:11, one of the verses that which we'll be referencing in our stewardship piece about what are we building, talks about that every structure begins with Christ as the cornerstone. And that's what we're getting here. The cornerstone. What stone, or what stone, type of stone, are you building your relationship, your walk with God? Three observations from these two passages. First is that God rejects empty religion, just going through the motions, tired of meaningless offerings. Jesus goes so far as to call the Pharisees whitewashed tombs. You're clean on the outside, but you're corrupt. There are issues on the inside. Just faking it. And I know fake it till you make it and all those kinds of phrases, but it's more than that. It's almost blatantly, almost thumbing your nose at the world, despite I'm going to continue to present, go through empty motions, but nothing on the inside. Think about a mechanic who is part of the service, will polish your car and give it a good wash. We'll even go inside and we'll dust and wipe things down and vacuum and and all that good stuff on the inside. So you go in, it feels like it's a brand new car. But the mechanic never bothers to change the oil. How long will that last? Jesus is saying, you're washed, you're polished car, but your oil has not been changed in 30,000 miles. You need help. Or imagine a dinner being set out. It's just a regular family dinner, and it's being set out so lovely with the china and the crystal and the silver and maybe some pretty flowers there as the centerpiece. But the one putting it together is ignoring the family around it. A pretty table, but broken relationships and no attention. Again, in the early days of the school year, I think of classrooms, especially elementary classrooms. They are works of art. I mean, they've got the learning stations set up and here for numbers and especially the colors and seasons and months. And the letters, and again, the learning stations for reading and science and all of that, where teachers are evaluated by the principals on how many ways of learning are you engaging the students. And so imagine one of those classrooms set up like that. But the teacher has no lesson plans. And when the kids come to class, the teacher's on the phone. By the kids just running around. You have UNT would send students down to observe your classroom's setup, but you're not teaching the students. That's the kind of imagery, modern day imagery being drawn here. God rejects empty religion. In the end, our second point, our Lord wants obedience. True discipleship. Not just rituals, not just a show that makes it look good, but the real issues, the justice. Again, with the Pharisees saying you're basically majoring in the minors. You've got all these little ties over here, and in and of themselves, they're not bad, but you're focused only on that and on something more important. Focus on, and you're being hypocritical. Hypocritical. It comes from the Greek word, a mask, that actors would wear a mask. Like, I'm an old woman. Well, you just put an old woman mask in front of you and speak out the words. And everybody knew what was going on. And you even think about in acting, you have characters whose their characters disliked each other, but the actresses or actors were actually very good friends. And other situations that performers, they're best friends, but they are playing enemies. Humorous example came up with a recent anniversary of Little House on the Prairie. You ever watched that? You've got Nellie Olson, she's the mean girl, and Laura is the good girl, Laura Ingalls. Well, it turns out the two actresses are still very close friends, which is probably why their scenes were so powerful. And as one said, oh yes, when I threw a punch, she knew I was going to make it look like one, so she had to fake it. But she could trust me, so she's already prepared to go, oh, you know, my nose is hurt. Never been touched. Hypocrite, you see. Or if I was pushed, it would only be slight. I had to make it look dramatic. We trusted each other. So again, I wonder why those scenes, they're probably having the best fun playing mean girl and good girl. But why those scenes were so powerful was because they actually trusted each other so much. So in a way, that is hypocrisy going on there. So same way with the actors. I mean, talking about, with saying, look, you're majoring in the minors, you're making a production of what you're doing, but you're missing the real work of mercy that's needed. Think of this, you've got a work crew. Do you want a work crew who shows up and that's it? Or do you want a work crew that shows up and works more than just the photo op? And remember, in all of this, the correction flows from love. Repentance to lead to renewal. Your sins are like scarlet, it says in Isaiah, but they shall be white as snow. Come back. I want to bring you back, Jesus says. The parent correcting a child before they run to the street might have to use a harsh voice. I had to do that once. Scared the child to death. I'm like, look, it's okay. It's okay. Look, it's this very bad street out here. The correction is not harshness for the harshness' sake, but love that protects. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. You will be restored. I know of a church that bought some adjoining property. It was a former YMCA. They're going through, and the main building had not been used for decades. And going through, they found this old table, beat up, scarred up. Said, I think there's something to this. Let's not put it in the trash heap. And they brought out the table, and they took it to the person who knew how to restore it. And it was so nice that this church said, we've got now a new conference room table. And this is a church, they kind of like things to look really nice, okay? So they're not, a little snobby, okay? But it was that good, okay? Once restored, it was that good. That's the point. These words are calling to restore us. In our story in Isaiah, the people have wandered spiritually into a desert or into a wilderness of whatever kind. From that, calling them to come back, hear the voice of the Lord. Jesus giving hard words out of a place of love, come back. Come back. For us today, it's a call to examine our hearts, a good daily ritual. And seeking to be the same person, whether at home, at school, at work, at here, to have some consistency about it. Now, again, I knew somebody who, because of his work crew, when he was at work, his grammar, we're not talking about foul language, we're talking about his grammar was not the best. Because his work crew's grammar was not the best. At home, it would pass muster with the school teacher. So obviously we adjust to our context, but essentially the core of who we are, being consistent wherever we are. And when we have that word of correction, accept, respond with renewal and repentance, admit mistakes. The mechanic who sees the problem is pointed out and says, well then let me take care of it and make it right. This is a time to literally look at the foundation of the church and in the new year, in the months ahead, to get it repaired. But this is a time for us also to spiritually look at our foundation and where we'll be going in the new year. In a few weeks, we'll be electing a new class of officers to take effect in 2026. And as you consider your pledge, the question is there, what are we building? What is our foundation? The journey of discipleship will require some periodic checks of the foundation. And sometimes we must take inventory. Does this fit or not? To leave with us, the question today is, how firm is our foundation? Where does it need a strengthening? Where does it need correction? And may we respond in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.